Hi, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 5th of May. An article in the current issue of E, the environmental magazine, the cover story is Bottled Water Backlash, caught our attention. Environmental concerns are sending people back to their taps. And the trend is taking hold in the United States, in Europe, and in Canada. More people are switching from bottled water to tap water. Bottled water, the article says, once carried a certain European mystique. But these days, it's the tap water enthusiasts who are concerned about the environment who get to act self-righteous, just like it's become cool to bring your own cloth bags to the grocery store and your own mug to the coffee shop. Reusable water bottle is the hip new eco accessory. We're going to have two guests with us to talk about this. David Wilk is going to join us the first part of the program. David is a Connecticut book publisher and tap water activist. He's the founder of TurnToTap.com. And this, I think, started going through his mind when he went to his son's soccer games. You know, kids, and I'm sure that you see this at baseball games and soccer games, bring bottled water. And now the kids at the soccer games are bringing their own bottles, and they fill up when they're thirsty because somebody brings a huge container of tap water. David says, we have such a consumption mentality which leads to our throwaway society. And so he built this website to turn more people to support for public water supplies and to cut down on the amount of plastic that's going into landfills. I think the cost of our behavior should be built into the products. A little bit later, we'll be speaking with Melissa Knopper. She is a freelance writer and author of Bottled Water Backlash. That's in the May-June E, the environmental magazine. And we start with David. Hi, hello. David.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Pretty good. It's
good.
A beautiful spring day, so I feel great.
Yeah, it is here, too. It's absolutely gorgeous. Isn't it interesting how we jumped into this whole bottled water thing without thinking about the ramifications? I mean, all of a sudden, it was just everywhere overnight.
Well, I mean, it took a few years, but I think that it is actually a great example of how consumer culture works. It is a very convenient product that people really like a lot. So it's hard to... And we don't, you know, there's not part of the process of drinking bottled water does not include understanding the downstream ramifications of what we do. And that's kind of emblematic of how environmental issues are treated in our culture.
Mm-hmm. How were we sold on the idea that it was better for us, that it was pure water, or what?
Well, it's a combination of factors. I think convenience is huge. Water is a healthy, necessary thing, and as part of the health movement, you know, people are encouraged to drink a lot of water. It's also perhaps incorrectly believed that bottled water is purer and safer and cleaner than other water. I think that's part of the illusion of bottled water. In some cases, that's true, and there are places in the world where the groundwater is not safe to drink and bottled water is necessary. But in the United States, that's not true. I think we have something like 99% of the population has access to clean water. So bottled water has to be presented as being clean, pure, healthy. It is certainly as healthy to drink water, but it's not necessary to drink bottled water.
Mm-hmm. I was astounded by these statistics that 8 out of 10 water bottles end up in the landfill, and then those bottles that drip from landfills are washed out to sea. So we have this huge number of plastic bottles in the center of the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, well, I think it's actually as high as 85% of all bottled water bottles are not recycled, therefore end up in the landfills. And whether they escape the landfills or whether, you know, when people throw them away without paying attention and they become roadside trash, where, in fact, if you remember years ago, it was beer bottles and beer cans that were by the side of the road. Now it's bottled water.
Right.
But in the ocean or in the ground, I mean, as plastic, it's not going to break down for something like 500 years. That's the half-life. We are returning carbon to the ground this way, but it really isn't the best way to do it.
Why are we not recycling these bottles?
I think that that gets into a big discussion, which I'm probably not qualified to talk about, but the issue of recycling in the United States, we're pretty behind a lot of the rest of the world, again, because there is no incentive, literally. We don't recognize the economic cost of what we do in an overt way. It's built into the cost of the bottle. You know, the transportation cost is part of the cost of buying it, but the disposal cost is not part of the cost of buying it. And so we don't really have a mechanism, whether it's, you know, the nickel or 10-cent bounty that you pay, you know, on a lot of soda bottles and bottled water. In some states, you pay, you know, 5 cents or 10 cents, but most states don't have that. And even in places where they do, 5 cents, 10 cents doesn't seem to matter to people enough. You know, maybe the economic issues that we're faced with might change that, but mm-hmm. a lot of people, 5 cents is not enough of a disincentive or to not throw the bottle away.
Yeah. So did this whole idea start at your son's soccer games?
Well, actually, no. it was an article I read in Fast Company magazine by Charles Fishman, who is a tremendous, terrific writer on business issues. He wrote an article about bottled water that just woke me up. I've been an environmentalist all my life, almost, and I just feel like I wasn't paying attention. You know, mm-hmm. There's so many things to think about, and you don't really think about every single thing you do. And it slapped me in the face that I was participating actively in a really damaging activity. So I took that as a wake-up call and decided that since time is limited and none of us has enough time to do everything we want to do, I would focus on one issue that I thought I could have an impact on. And it was bottled water. The article I wrote about sports bottles actually did come about because I was thinking, I coached Babe Ruth baseball. And I coached Little League baseball. And most of the time that I would be at the field after the game, there would be bottles everywhere. Still is true. You know, when I go to these games, there are bottles just all over the place. And what people do is they throw them in the trash. Being a good citizen, they're cleaning up after themselves, or cleaning up after the kids, and they're not recycling them because there aren't any recycling bins on the playing field, mm-hmm. at least where I was. So that's what got me to write that article for a website called Play Sports TV, which is a website that's about youth sports and parenting and coaching.
Mm. And then there's this whole cost of particularly water that's coming from Europe. The fuel that's used to get all this bottled water to the United States is certainly expensive at a time when we need to be looking at the amount of fuel that we're consuming.
Well, it's a huge cost. You know, I don't have the number in my head, but I have studied this. And there's a website called Ask Pablo that's calculated the energy, it's both the dollar cost and the energy cost of having, of shipping bottled water. And it's an extraordinarily high cost. You know, it probably represents upwards of 25 cents out of each bottle that you buy is transportation, particularly the bottled water that comes from places like Fiji or Iceland or New Zealand, certainly Italy and France. These are very distant places. You know, they have to ship them across the ocean. It is true they go in boats, and boats are probably a little more efficient per pound transported than trucks across the United States. But then once they arrive at the port, then they're put on a truck.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of energy cost in the distribution system for water, and water is very heavy. It weighs 2.2 pounds per liter, so you're taking a very heavy substance and transporting it huge distances, ironically or paradoxically, when that same quality of water is available to you right near where you live. You turn on your tap, and out comes water that does not need to be transported thousands of miles.
Right. And then how ironic that we have how many people in the world who do not have access to safe drinking water.
Exactly. In places in the world where they need bottled water, they can't afford it. where we can afford it, but we don't need it. But
right.
I guess that is the contradiction of, you know, of the consumer culture, and that is that we have, at least we appear to have, more to waste than anybody else does.
Yeah. What about the bottled water companies point to Katrina and how crucial bottled water was to that city as it was recovering? We in Milwaukee had a bad situation with cryptosporidium some years ago. Some people died and a lot of people got sick because of our tap water. Is there something that we need to do if we're going to turn to tap water to make sure that it's safe?
Well, the I am not a spokesperson for the tap water industry. I want to be clear about that. They can probably speak for themselves. But my study has shown that most tap water is tested on a much more frequent basis than mm-hmm. bottled water is. There's no question that bottled water has its place. My personal view is that we shouldn't try to ban bottled water or stop it from stop it from being manufactured or produced. I don't believe in that idea. I don't think that it's an evil thing. I just think that it's irrational and bad for the environment to do it the way we're doing it now, and that there are alternatives that people need to be aware of. So, you know, I think that there will be often times when bottled water is the choice that one should make, especially in disasters and in times when there is disruption in the public water supply, or even when you're traveling and you just don't have access to good tap water. Tap water is not universally tasty. A lot of places have tap water that's perfectly safe to drink but doesn't taste good to people. So there are going to be times when you will drink bottled water, and people, I don't think there's any reason to object to that. But on the scale that we're doing it, when we're doing it as a matter of convenience without thinking about it, I think that's the issue. And that is, if we can educate people to the effects of their behavior and the choices they make, people will then make choices differently.
Right.
Now, tap water, for the most part, is tested by the EPA. It's sampled, I don't know the exact frequency, but it's many times more frequently than the water that you drink in out of a bottle, which is not, it doesn't have to meet the same requirements for testing that tap water does.
And it's actually rather unconscionable that at all these fields, we just don't have barrels or containers to recycle all of these bottles.
I think minimally that is that's something that we should all be working for, is recycling, although recycling actually costs money too, cost energy to do the recycling.
Right.
You know, I think the highest and best is to reduce consumption, and then the next best is to recycle what you use. And if you can make other choices that are more efficient and better for the environment, then that's what you should do. But recycling is definitely something that all of us can do. You know,
mm-hmm.
pretty easy. And, you know, in the towns we live in, we can ask the community to put out recycle. I mean, everybody does it differently. Some places it's public, some places it's private. But it's not that hard to recycle.
Mm-hmm. Tell me what's on the website you've created, turntotap.com.
Well, mainly what I try to do is aggregate information about water of all kinds. You know, I try to act as a focal point for information so that, you know, I'm generating a little bit of content, but mainly just searching out on the web for news and information about water of all different kinds. Whether it's, you know, stories that somebody else has done or news items, I'm always looking for things that people can do to make change. And so I've got a little section for activism and ideas that other people have done that might be good examples for each of us to do in the communities that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I invite people to come on and do, you know, as you're doing here, invite people who know more than I do to come and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. The other question I was wondering about is how often, how many recycle cycles are there to one of those plastic bottles where it reaches a point where you just can't use them anymore?
I don't really know the answer to that. In other words, I don't think that what happens, though, is that I think, in other words, when you take a bottle and you drink from it, and then you throw the bottle in the recycling bin, what's going to happen to that is it's going to be recycled into something else. It's not going to be made into a water bottle again. So, you know, in as much as plastic can be continuously reused for different purposes, there probably are many more downstream uses, but I actually don't know how many times, you know, ultimately that piece of plastic will end up being used.
We're going to welcome phone calls, and we'll do them in just one moment. David Wilk is our guest. He is founder of TurnToTap.com, and we're expecting the author of Bottled Water Backlash in the May-June E, the environmental magazine, to join us in just a few minutes. I know you have a lot of thoughts about this, what your thoughts are about bottled water. Do you drink it? Do you make sure you recycle it? Do you think that we need to think twice about bottled water? Do we need to make sure that our tap water is clean? Do you put filters on your tap water and use that? It's something that a lot of people are starting to think about if they didn't a few years ago. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050. Or feel free to send an email. You can do that as well. And that is talk@WPR.org. Talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we go to some phone calls now for David and start our calls with Mike from Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I've got a great story for you. I went to Racine on Saturday to the McDonald's and asked for a cup of water, and they refused to give it to me. They now have a policy that you must buy bottled water at the McDonald's. It's just absurd. Racine tap water is excellent tap water, but they've just instituted this policy forcing people to buy bottled water.
Hmm. Are you? I don't know if you heard that. The line wasn't great. Did you hear that, David?
I think he was saying that McDonald's, where he went, was requiring him to buy bottled water instead of serving him a cup of tap water. And that does seem to be not uncommon. I think a lot of places that sell food have decided that they can make money from selling bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want a soda and you want water, they want to be able to capture some money. So I've seen this in a lot of places. Also, if you've noticed, the idea of the water fountain seems to have gone away
mm-hmm.
in any public areas. I was in airports frequently. I was looking around the other day to see if I could find a place to get a cup of water without buying a bottle. It's not possible.
Really?
In most airports in America, and I think that's a real loss. It relates to the idea of trying to privatize the public good.
Right.
Water, we've always treated as a public utility, just like electricity and the roads. And now we're privatizing something that used to be available either for free or at very low cost as a public good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a real issue.
Mm-hmm. And we're doing it at the same time that we're suffering huge water problems, and the thing that we need it for, which is our health and little water taps, we're taking the water and putting it on our lawns and our golf courses.
And agriculture needs water also. And now
right.
you have, you know, it's related also to the idea. I know it's in the Midwest, it's probably a controversial issue, but if you're going to grow corn to use as fuel in place of oil, you're going to increase the amount of production. That means you're going to increase water use, and that has perhaps a negative unintended consequence.
Right. Thanks very much, Mike, for the call. We go to Bob from Eau Claire next. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Hi.
I guess my statement to the guest is that Evian is a very popular water sold all over the United States.
What is? I didn't hear that.
Evian.
Uh-huh.
And Evian is naive, spelled backwards. So I think he should pay a little more attention to what he's saying.
What do you mean? You'll have to go.
Evian is naive, spelled backwards.
Right.
It's a slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're selling you something that you can have for free.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're just saying, you know, you're a bunch of idiots.
Hmm. Well, he's right that you can, you know, if you buy bottled water and you pay $2 for a bottle, the water, the same amount of water coming out of your tap would have cost you less than a penny.
Right. It is amazing how much money they charge for this, isn't it?
Yeah, but it reflects what the market will bear.
Right.
People are willing to pay it.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Jay from Oshkosh. Hi, Jay.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, a couple things. First of all, a question. I had heard that plastics tend to leach poisons into our food through many different processes, and one of them was bottled water. And I don't know what experience or knowledge you have about that. And the second thing, just a comment. My wife runs a Girl Scout troop. I'm actually from Michigan, traveling in Oshkosh business. And she had a session a couple months ago with the girls about recycling. And one of the big things they did was collect bottled water bottles for recycling. And the girls just were really, really excited about it and took to that really easily. So it's definitely something that you can do with Girl and Boy Scouts.
I think that's right. I think kids are really very ready to hear this, the message that recycling is good and waste is bad, and they can participate and make a difference because it is their planet. You know, we're older, they're going to inherit this, and if it's a mess, they're the ones who are going to have to clean it up.
Right.
I do think that there are issues about leaching of plastic into water. However, most of the bottles that you get that are one-use bottles, there is no evidence that they are doing that there are leaching of chemicals from those in most cases. However, the shelf life of bottled water is limited, so that because of that issue, so you know you wouldn't want to drink bottled water that's been on the shelf for more than 6 months, for example. There is some evidence that that could be a problem. You really don't want to reuse the single-use bottles, because as you wash them in a high temperature hot water, like a dishwasher, you will cause problems in terms of leaching.
Hmm.
And there are now issues arising about BPA, bisphenol acetate, coming out of certain other forms of plastic that had previously been thought to not leach. So there are issues in plastic. It's really complicated and probably more complicated than we have time for right here.
Right. One more call. Mina or Mina? Abram from Abraham?
Hi.
Hi. What's your name?
It's Mina from Abrams.
From Abrams. Hi, Mina.
Yeah. I just was calling to comment. It's the first time I've ever done this, but I was thinking about what you're talking about, and it was funny how it started, for me at least. I thought it was a health thing. It was, oh, I'm going to pick the water instead of a bottle of soda. So that would seem like a good thing to do.
Right, yeah.
And then I believe that the minerals in the spring water, that there was better components in their trace minerals that I was going to get. And even though I was recycling at the time, I just wasn't even conscious, I'm sorry to say, that this was adding so much. And also, there was a big scare about fluoride, especially with children in the tap water and such. So again, I thought I was doing something so proactive. And I think it's been about a year that I finally stopped doing it, because as your guest is doing, somebody put the light bulb off in front of my head, and I just went, what am I doing? This is ridiculous. So I end up just filtering water out of the tap, or just drinking tap water, or bringing a reusable bottle that I, you know, fill up. And I guess the good thought on this is my children graduated 2001, 99, and 2004. And my kids are all in sports, and I really don't remember the bottled water until my daughter, the one that graduated the latest. They dragged the big containers. We filled up the water bottles and brought them. The coaches brought big buckets of water. So in a way, maybe we're catching it before it got any worse, because this has probably been, what, in the last 10 years?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
It's sort of come all of a sudden, everybody's drinking bottled water, and now all of a sudden people are waking up and realizing that they don't need to. So
yeah.
I think it is, you're right, that it is something we're catching before it's too late.
Yeah, because, I mean, my kids are not that old, and they were still, we were not doing the bottled water, so it is something that came, and maybe it can go out as fast as it came in. So that's my comments.
Okay, and thanks very much for the call. And we'll welcome more phone calls in a moment. 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. Is David? And if you'd like to send an email, it's talk@WPR.org. Talk@WPR.org. We're just going to switch guests here and stay on the same topic. David Wilk, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, and enjoy the day.
Thanks. David has this website that you may want to go to, which is turntotap.com, www.turntotap.com, David Wilk. Melissa Knopper is our guest now, a freelance writer and author of Bottled Water Backlash, which appears in the May-June 2008 The Environmental magazine. And we continue taking phone calls. We're going to speak with her for a few minutes and then take some calls for her. Thanks very much, Melissa, for being with us. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about what's going on in various parts of the world. In Canada, you write that bottled water issue has become an uprising. What's going on there?
Well, it seems kind of tied into campus movements. And there's a lot of college students who are making it their new kind of hip cause, you know, and organizing events around that. World Water Day is one of them, and, you know, they're kind of encouraging their fellow students to switch to tap.
Mm-hmm. You also talk about various mayors. I think it started last year with San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom declaring a ban on bottled water contracts for all city departments. That's a big thing.
Yes, it is, and I think it makes sense financially for a lot of cities. You know, they started looking at how much they were spending bottled water for all their meetings and realizing, well, we have this pristine, really good tap water in our city. Why aren't we just using that for free, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so he actually took out all the vending machines that sold bottled water and just put in a water dispenser that used, you know, their tap water, which is in San Francisco, you know, it's from the Sierra Mountains, so probably better than what you can buy in a store.
Right. And what about that question? Is most tap water in the country, or does it vary widely from city to city, better than what you can buy in a store?
I think a lot of people don't realize that bottled water often is just tap water poured into a bottle, you know, or maybe run through a filter that may not be that much better than what you could put in your own kitchen, you know. And so I think that certain cities have great tap water, and then if you live in an area where they're taking the water out of a river that is already dumping sewer water into it, and, you know, it's being kind of recycled, then you might want to be more concerned. But a lot of the advocates are saying that the tap water really isn't that much better. I mean, the bottled water, excuse me, isn't that much better than tap water, and that sometimes tap water isn't just as good or better.
In your research, did you find that it is recommended that people put filters, and if so, what kind of filters on their faucets?
Again, that depends where you live. And in a lot of cases, you probably don't need a filter, but if you live, like I said, in one of those areas where they're taking the drinking water out of a source that's a river where there are sewer outfalls,
mm-hmm.
Then you probably would want to have a filter on your tap water. And it seems that the best kind to get is reverse osmosis,
mm-hmm.
although those can be kind of expensive. But if you have a really bad source of public water, I think people are saying reverse osmosis plus carbon filter is probably the best.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the controversy going on in California, a lot of community protests concerning a large water bottling plant that is supposedly going up. Is it going up? Who's building it? What are the protests?
I'm not sure which area you're referring to, but I know this is happening across the country, also in the East Coast, and I think a lot of communities are starting to feel like, wait a minute, you know, this is our aquifer, and we only have so much. If the water's coming out of the groundwater, if their public supply is being taken from that, then why should a bottled water company come in and kind of hog it all, you know? And the people are making the connections now and starting to get a little outraged and to question these contracts when they come up for renewal.
Mm-hmm. Let's take some phone calls for you and start with Saeed from Platteville. Hi.
Hi.
Go right ahead. Go ahead, Saeed. Oh, I don't know where she is. Let's go to Norm from New Auburn. Hi, Norm.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to comment about this plastic bottle thing. I've got a jacket on right now that's made out of recycled plastic bottles.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
They make fibers out of it and made a jacket out of it.
Hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much. Are you familiar with that?
In a loop.
Pardon?
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there another caller?
There will be in a moment, but what about this recycled jet? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I think that's really great because I think that is the whole issue with recycling. If you recycle and then you don't close the loop by buying products that are made from those recycled materials, then it doesn't complete the circle, you know?
Mm-hmm,
so good for him for thinking that way.
Yeah, it's great. We have a caller or a listener from Bosco Bell who says that we had a program on recently about recycling, and they said that very few of the plastics were actually recyclable. Water bottles are one of those that cannot actually be recycled. Is that true?
They can be, but only certain kinds of plastic bottles can only be recycled about two or three times, and then that's it. And I think the statistic I had in my article was that 80% of the plastic water bottles are not recycled.
80% are not?
80%, yeah. And that is mainly because where you buy bottled water, it's often at an airport or a basketball game or someplace, a big venue, where I know personally I have looked and looked for recycling bins, and they don't exist at these places.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a big area that people are working on right now.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they exist? Why isn't somebody – is it expensive for a city to put in recycling in those areas? It seems as though it would be just as expensive to pick up all the garbage.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that. I imagine maybe the some of these places are private venues, you know, but – I don't know, and I think they just don't care, or they don't want to bother with the cost of it, like you said, you know, bothering to separate out everything and take it somewhere, and
mm-hmm.
just people don't care enough. That's my impression. But
Angela from Johnson Creek. Hi, Angela.
Hi. I'm just calling. I'm on the road, and I live in Fall River, and I guess I'm pretty lucky because it was rated having the best tasting water in the state or something like that. And I just want to call and talk about, I'm on the road a lot and for my work, and so I've decided to switch to take my own bottle. It's a SIG, which is aluminum, and it's aligned. And so I just fill up every day before I go, and I don't need to stop and buy any bottled water. I just wanted to talk about supporting some of those other hip choices that are out there, I guess. SIG is one, and Clean Canteen is another.
Right. Good for you for doing that, you know, and just it feels good, doesn't it, to think that every time you take a bottle of water in your car, you're not polluting the environment or hurting some sea life. And I personally just bought a bunch of Clean Canteen bottles because after I did this article, I worried about the plastic bottles we were using. And I think SIG is a good alternative. I know David Wilk likes them. But I couldn't get a straight answer out of that company about what's in the liner. They have a plastic liner inside it. They say it has no bisphenol A, which is the one you really need to worry about. And I'm sure they're right, but they couldn't prove it to me. So I went with Clean Canteen, but I think SIG's okay, too.
Yeah, and I would just support anyone. I bought my friends and family these as gifts over Christmas, and just to make them more aware of, you know, everyday drinking habits, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, I do think Nalgene, I saw that they recently took off the Lexan bottles that have bisphenol A in it. They took them off the market, and they are promoting a new kind of plastic that they claim doesn't have bisphenol A in it and is safe. So I think you can still use your Nalgene bottles if you really are hooked on those, if you just check it out carefully, you know.
Thanks, Angela, for your call. Kevin is next from Gays Mills. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi.
This is a great program. I do a lot of traveling. We live in the country, so I drink well water. And we always take a water bottle. I use stainless steel, avoiding plastic. But you run out of water during your trip, obviously, most of the time. And rather than buy bottled water, a lot of the gas stations have pop machines with, you know, lemonade, iced tea, and whatever. They're all using water to make that whatever drink you buy. And it's filtered water. And some of those machines have a little nozzle by, like, the lemonade or whatever that says water. And if you refill your water bottle just from water out of that nozzle, it's filtered water. It's very good, and there's no flavors.
Hmm.
So that's what I do, is I look for things like at the gas stations and refill my containers as I go.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose I've been doing this for years. And maybe if it gets to be real common, they'll eliminate some of those machines, which would be terrible. But anyway, I just thought I'd pass it on.
Good
right.
suggestion.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. We have an email from Jamie from Cambridge. Hold on, let me get this to work. Why don't all restaurants have a recycling bin right next to their trash? Every to-go cup is recyclable. The cardboard cup, the plastic lid, and the straw. And all of these places should be able to provide containers for recycling right there. Why isn't there, I don't know, why don't they make it a law that be the case?
I think that would be a good idea. I deal with this every time. We have a deli in my neighborhood, and I always get like a Snapple or some kind of iced tea, and then I look to recycle it, and there's no place to do it. And sometimes I just take it home in my purse. But it's frustrating that more people don't just do that out of good ethics, you know. And another issue that's interesting is the whole idea of putting a deposit on bottles,
mm-hmm.
so people would have an incentive to return them. And that used to be done where I grew up in Michigan. You know, we always had that, and I remember always going around collecting them and turning them in. But there's just that movement has lost momentum, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Let's go next to Ron. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I just wanted to give you a website. This man has devised an extra pure water machine that purifies water to the nth degree. The website is johnellis.com.
Who's John Ellis?
I don't know.
You don't know?
But this is just a website that I got hold of from somebody.
How do you know the water's pure then?
You read the website and he'll explain it all to you, and he's got a... he sells a device that purifies water to the degree that you've never seen water purified before.
Hmm. Okay, well, thanks very much for the call. More phone calls in a moment. We're talking with the writer of the piece in E! The Environmental Magazine. It's the cover story, Bottled Water Backlash. Environmental concerns are sending people back to their taps. 800-486-8655 is the number, 414-227-2050 if you're in Milwaukee. The email address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back to your phone calls now. Melissa Knopper, freelance writer, author of Bottled Water Backlash in E! The Environmental Magazine, is our guest. And our next call is Matt from Middleton. Hello, Matt.
Good morning, Kathleen. My main comment is I remember, and I'm not that old, I'm only 30, when we would go to the store when I was a kid, we'd walk down the soda aisle, or my parents would walk into the liquor department, everything came in returnable glass bottles. And I've always wondered why we got away from that. I mean, because I think everybody remembers having the small Coke bottles. You could drop them on the concrete, and they didn't break. When you were done, you put them in the box. You took them back to the store.
Yeah.
You got $3-4 back. When you think about it, the trucks deliver product to the store, and they run back empty. So where's the downside to that? I mean, the bottles go back. They don't even need to be recycled. They're just washed and refilled. And, you know, yeah, I look at most of the new plastic-type containers that we drink or eat out of are never recycled back into that same container because it's either too hard or technically not possible or not feasible to do it. So all of the plastic that you see in the store, most of it's virgin. It's made from new petroleum products. So we've not really reduced the amount of plastic in the environment. We've really increased it because recycling, as has been pointed out, turns the bottles into new products. So there's more plastic in the environment, more plastic being used. Whereas when you're using glass or if you're using aluminum, those products are easily recyclable. All they have to be is remelted, and they can be made into the exact same thing with no type of contamination or technical problems, and it's cheaper. So I really think we need to push our manufacturers to stop switching away from glass, stop switching away from aluminum, and you know, keep the products that we're using really recyclable.
I think you're right. I think that you know, the companies that make bottled water and soda bottles, they don't want to deal with the product after they make it. They don't want to have to be responsible for all the money that goes into, you know, crushing those glass bottles, making new ones, or washing them and refilling them. It's, you know, it's just too much of a hassle. It's easier for them to just do the throwaway thing, and they're not responsible for the consequences, so they don't care, you know. And the other point is, if you recycle, you think you're doing a good thing by recycling your plastic bottles, but there's only so many fleece jackets and carpets they can make out of all those recycled plastic bottles, and most of them are not getting recycled anyway. But even if they did, if you got 100% of the bottles recycled, there wouldn't be that many things you could make out of them. They would still have to be thrown away, as some of them would be. You know?
Thanks so much, Matt, for your call. Susan is next from Fort Atkinson. Hi, Susan.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And my question or comment, whatever, is sort of related to Matt's. Recently, I purchased some bottled water, and I noticed on the label that Maine has a 5-cent deposit in return. It's like was stamped on the label. And I was wondering if Maine has seen less water usage because of that, or what they do with them, if that 5 cents is actually used for reprocessing, collection, any ideas or thoughts or knowledge you may have about that.
I don't know the answer to that. I imagine they would have a little bit higher rate of recycling if people are returning them more to get the money. You get, you know, homeless people or whatever going around looking for them, or people just have an incentive to bring it back to the store. That's the whole idea behind those. And I think a lot of states used to have them, and they just disappeared. And I think they should come back myself.
And, you know, cans obviously do have a dollar value. And I didn't know if putting a dollar value on the plastic, as you say, would make either a return, or what Maine actually does with the money, whether they use it to promote recycling efforts or environmental issues, or might be a nice thing to find out.
I imagine that varies state by state how they use the money, but it would make sense to put it back into the environment. You know, maybe support the public water supply with that money. But I'm not sure exactly how every state does it.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. You also include information which is just astounding about what our water footprint is in America. We use so much water a day. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think people, at least I live, you know, here in Denver out west, I think people are more aware of it than like in the Great Lakes, where you seem to have this endless amount just right in front of your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
although I think that people in the Great Lakes should be very wary and be concerned about, in the future, there's going to be a lot of pressure for diversion, and that's going to become like you're sitting on a gold mine, right?
Right.
But I think here in the West, you know, for example, I live in Denver. We have watering bans every summer, so I can only water my garden 2 or 3 days a week for half an hour.
Hmm.
And so that forces you to get xeriscape plants and, you know, be way more aware of how much you're using and what kind of landscaping is sucking up the water. And,
I
think we're more aware of it here, but, yeah, it is astounding how much we use every day. You're right.
We go to Edith next from Madison. Hi, Edith.
Yes, good morning. I would like to share with you my own personal experience. I have spent most of my life suffering from upper respiratory illnesses, and a relative about a year and a half ago urged me to go out and buy a water distiller, which I sprung for, and the manufacturer sent me the booklet that goes with it, with a list of all the contaminants in bottled water and how effective, in tap water, I mean, and the fact that bottled water only guarantees the removal of one of these, which is chlorine. May I read the list? It's aluminum, arsenic, asbestos, bacteria, benzene, bromoform, chloramine, chloride, chlorine, chromium hexavalent, chromium trivalent, copper, cyanide, cysts, fluoride, herbicides, lead, mercury, MTBE, nitrate and nitrite, pesticides, phosphates, sodium, sulfate, totally dissolved solids, THMs, viruses, and VOCs, volatile organic compounds. So that is what is in tap water.
Wow, that's pretty scary, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a comparison on this also. Just so everybody knows, reverse osmosis is a very good system, but it does not remove viruses or bacteria or arsenic.
And well, carbon and you're right, and you know the filters are limited for sure. You know, and one of the things I was trying to find out from this article that I did was, I've in the past written about how there are a lot of dissolved pharmaceuticals in the water. Also,
yes.
If you're familiar with that?
Yes, and, I am.
And apparently, I asked all around to every group I could find, and no one really knows if there is a filter that can filter out something that small.
Right. Well, the distiller that I have removes all 28 of that list that I read.
Wow.
But the only thing is, as you mentioned, there are so many other things that we're becoming aware of, like the pharmaceuticals, birth control pills, I mean, just all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think your point is very well taken, and I'll just say thank you very much.
Yeah, I wanted to mention one of my heroes in the environmental field is Theo Colburn, who wrote Our Stolen Future, and I interviewed her once about her water, and she also uses a distiller. So that made an impact on me, and I always thought maybe I'll get one someday, but aren't they kind of expensive?
Yes, ferociously so. I decided that I would buy a model that would fit my kitchen counter. And it has limited capacity, admittedly, and unfortunately it cost over $450.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to renew the carbon filters every 6 months. I have to spring for another package of those, which are about $40. But this is the first winter I have had no illness.
Wow, that's what I was going to ask you, if you've seen a difference.
Oh, incredible. Absolutely incredible. I've had no bronchitis, no pneumonia, nothing like that.
Interesting.
Thanks very much for your call.
Okay.
And we thank you so much for your participation, Melissa, in the program. Thank you. Melissa Knopper, our guest this hour, she's a freelance writer, and she wrote the piece that is the cover story of E, the environmental magazine for May-June, Bottled Water Backlash. Environmental concerns are sending people back to their taps. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour and to Rhonda as well for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. A reminder that tomorrow, Tuesday, voters in North Carolina and Indiana go to the polls to cast their vote in the presidential primary, in case you didn't know that. Just kidding. I'm sure you do. Join us Tuesday night here on the Ideas Network from 8 until 10 for 2 hours of election coverage and analysis from NPR. After 8, Michelle Norris and Melissa Block will host special coverage of the primaries. And then after 9, Neil Conan hosts a nationwide call-in on the day's events. So join us for that tomorrow night from 8 until 10, and then we'll be talking about the outcome on Wednesday. Thanks for listening. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.